On this feast of the Holy Family, for today's Mass, the epistle is taken from Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, put you on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. The Gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 2. When Jesus was 12 years old, they were going up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and having fulfilled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done this to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I was about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart, and Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. With our eyes open to the divine light, and with our ears attuned to the divine voice, let us hear that we are being warned every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. These words, which were applicable in the 5th century, are as applicable today in the 21st. These words are taken from St. Benedict's Rule, from the prologue, and these same words are contained on this one desk calendar, which many of you have. It is an opportunity for us to contemplate a few words, which are striking, and these words struck me when I flipped this calendar a few days ago and saw these words. As these words are to help us understand our sanctity, to push us an advancement towards the eternal goal for which we were created, let us take these words to heart, but let us listen once again to them so that we can understand their meaning. With our eyes open to the divine light, and with our ears attuned to the divine voice, let us hear that we are being warned every day. This is it, dear faithful. We are warned each and every day. We are hit over the head by God each and every day, and so that we can advance to our sanctity. But how are we hit? I want to share with you a certain hit that I received a few months ago in the plane. As you know, I travel from time to time, and during my travels on the plane, I read my scripture. I came across Mark chapter 12, which I encourage all of you to read. In Mark chapter 12, we hear at the end the discourse between our Lord Jesus Christ and a scribe. A scribe is one of those Jews who were quite intelligent, knew the law, knew the word of God, and we're questioning our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scribe asked our Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And our Lord Jesus Christ responded, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind, and thy whole strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said that these two are the greatest commandments, and nothing else supersedes them. This is what struck me over the head. This is what we want to learn today. There is no greater commandment than that of charity, that of loving God and our neighbor as ourself for the love of him. Oftentimes, dear faithful, we overlook our end. We look for the goal for which we were created, and we trip because we forgot what was at our feet. And this is what we no longer want to do this new year. We want to see this great commandment of charity. Although, yes, it is a grave sin at times to steal. At times, yes, it is difficult to overcome our anger, the sins against the fifth commandment. It is, yes, difficult at times to overcome the sixth and the ninth commandments. Yes, at times it is difficult to not disobey our parents. But have we ever remembered that we must love God and our neighbor as ourselves? We know that any sin is a thought, word, action, or omission against the law of God. Have we ever considered the thoughts against charity, the words against charity which we have exerted? This is the examination that we want to pose for ourselves today. And in doing this, we will take a certain mathematical example. And it has to come from one who loves mathematics to bring forth this example. But those of you who don't love math, do not push away this example if it can help. The example we will find on this virtue of charity is going to be the XY axis. You know that there's an X axis on the horizontal. There's a Y axis on the vertical. This is the example of charity. But we have to explain this example, and we have to explain out how the example limps at times. But the X-axis must be a segment, not a line. That is to say, it has a beginning and it has an end. Everything must be encompassed on this line. However, the Y-axis is a line. It has a beginning at the bottom. However, it never ends, because there is no end to our love of God. So we have to love God as much as we can, and for as much as we can, and there is no loving God enough. So considering this, we must also remember that there's a negative and a positive line. And so we have to consider what this means. The X-axis is going to be the love that we have to give to each and every creature. Every creature created by God must lie in the X-axis. But there's a negative and there's a positive. No person, no human being can lie on the negative line of the X-axis. You must love each and every person that walks the face of this earth. It is a positive precept given by God to us. But the X-axis that is negative, what can we put there? If we can't put our enemy, because we will find that we cannot, what can exist there? If you want, dear faithful, you can put anything you dislike that is not human. Your broken down car, your house that is coming to dishevels. You could put anything that is inanimate, that you dislike, on that negative X-axis. However, no person, no human being can be on that negative side. The Y-axis, which is, again, a beginning to an infinite degree, has a negative and a positive. We must love all people, even if it's so slight. We must have them on that positive section of the Y-axis. Nothing goes below. Nothing finds itself on the negative Y-axis. It is empty because love is positive. And so what is going to be on this positive y-axis is going to be humans. It's going to be the things we love. And you might ask yourself, well, I can't love God less than my family. That is true. But I can love my enemy less than my family, and that is true. And so if someone does stab you in the back, they might fall down on the y-axis, but they may never, and they must never, fall in the negative quantity. This is what we want to consider today, because how often is that negative part of our y-x-axis filled? How many times have we put the print preview on our computer and we saw that there's something going on to the negative side of the quadrangle? We must consider that when we push print at our eternal judgment, there is nothing that lies on 3 of the 4 parts of this great section. Only positive X and positive Y must be human creatures. This is difficult. You might ask yourselves, Father, how can I not have an uncharitable thought? How can I not have an uncharitable speech at times with my friends and family? This is what we want to consider. And this is how oftentimes we trip because we think about the other commandments. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 12, there is no greater one than to love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. So let us look at a few examples. Let us look at Saint Stephen. The Christmas time is a beautiful time of examples from the saints. Saint Stephen, the day after Christmas, was stoned to death. Let us consider this example. What happened? He was preaching. And the Jews did not want to stone him in the city. They were very good Jews, by the way. So they drug him out of the city before they stoned him. And they were very good Jews, mind you. They took off their outer garments before they stoned him because they couldn't have the blood stain their outer garments. It was a sin. So they were good Jews. And they took him out of the city. They took off their outer garments and they stoned him to death. Well, what did Saint Stephen do? He knelt down, opened his eyes to heaven, and said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He echoes the words of our Lord on the cross. He died a happy death. This is our example of charity. Those men, those persecutors, did not fall into the negative X or Y axis of Saint Stephen. His enemy, although they might have fell in his Y axis on the positive nature, he never fell negative. This is our example. Let us not be good Catholics and say, I shouldn't say it, but here is my gossip. I shouldn't do that, but you said it first. Here is what I have to say to you. No, let us not be good Catholics as the Jews were good Jews and forget the law of God amidst our difficulties. Let us look at another example of St. Dominic Savio. All of you young children know St. Dominic. Do you remember this one time on the playground? St. Dominic, of course, a very good student, a very good person that everyone got along with, saw two of his friends about to throw stones at each other. He said, wait, throw the first stone at me, then have what you want. But throw the first stone at me. Dominic, we can't do that. You're good. This is the one I want to get, not you. Dominic said, no, throw this first stone at me because I'm going to show you that you're going to offend God by what you're doing. But offend me before offending God. Dominic, we can't do that. We don't want to offend you. We want to kill the other. They didn't understand until Dominic again insisted, you're offending God by offending your neighbor. This is it. All of those bad thoughts, all of those uncharitable words, those offend God, those break this great law, the greatest commandment, and this puts you on the negative axis. let us not fall to this deception this year. And let us consider for ourselves all of those sins of the tongue. There's a great book called The Sins of the Tongue, which I encourage all of you to read. It is quite disturbing to see how often we fall to this, how often we forget to consider this, and therefore how many souls are lost, or at least how many souls burn in purgatory because of the sins against charity. So let us remember these great words of our Lord. But let us go and examine ourselves and say, Father, there's got to be something I can say, because I can't not say things at times when my enemy does something to me. Who can I say it to? There are three conditions wherein you can say things that have happened against you. The first is that you have a good motivation. If your motivation to say it is out of charity, to seek advice on how you can overcome the fault and how you can help the other, a good motivation, firstly. Secondly, is if you go to someone who can actually do something. You go to someone in the place of authority. You go to a priest. You go to your spouse. You go to your upperclassman. You go to your older sibling. Someone who can help you. And lastly, you have to go to someone who's prudent, who's not going to gossip about it, who's not going to ridicule them more, who's not going to agree with you and let's go get them. Someone who's prudent, someone who has something that they can do for you. And lastly, if you have the right motivation, that of charity. Those are the three conditions which enable you to speak. Yes, God wants you to speak. Yes, God wants you to seek help. But you cannot take that occasion to belittle, to rebuke, to stab in the back, to detract, to calumniate. This is not allowed by the precept of God. And so, let us go to the authority, because some of you are saying, great, Father, because I want to hear these things, and I'm in the place of authority, so I want my people to come and tell me all the things that are happening. But you, the authority member, must act like our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the gospel again and see how our Lord acted when people came and brought to him problems. You all remember St. Mary Magdalene. She was drugged most likely by the hair, by the Jews who knew the law and said to our Lord, take care of this lady. We found her in adultery, and the law of Moses says that she must be stoned to death. Please take care of her. You know the law. We will like it to be fulfilled. Our Lord goes into the sand and starts writing down their sins. And he says, those without sin can cast the first stone. Well, they start walking away, sheepish, one by one. And our Lord, of course, knows everything. But he comes up and says to the lady, St. Mary Magdalene, where is everyone? Did they not stone you to death? No, they all left. Our Lord says, have faith, sin no more. Thy faith has saved thee. Did our Lord stone her? Did our Lord rebuke her? Did our Lord reprimand her? Yes, he did. He did it very simply, very subtly, but he changed her life. This is how the authority must act. With great zeal, with great love, but with great composure, amidst adultery, one of the greatest sins there is. And then we can go again to our Lord, and he says many, many times different ways of trying to forgive. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have mercy upon the sinners. So let us remember, when we're the authority member, to have the heart of our Lord, to have the heart of mercy, when we're tempted to have the reprimand to rebuke others. And let us try to think of two last examples before we go. Something that will strike you. Think of this, dear faithful. Throw stones at the pulpit. Take your stones that you brought today with you and throw the stone. Throw the stone at the pulpit. Try to hit the priest. All of you are thinking, there's no way we're going to hit you, Father. because you're Father. We can't do it to you, but think again, dear faithful, throw this stone. Of course you're not. But examine yourselves how many times you actually have thrown the stone with your words and with your thoughts because you were too proud to throw the physical stone. How many sins are committed? No one knows. No one thinks. But that negative X and Y axis are quite filled with the sins of the tongue, the sins against charity. Lastly, we can consider the opposite. The priest starts throwing stones at you. What is your reaction? You're definitely not obliged to stay. You can, of course, defend yourself, get up very calmly, and exit stage left. There's no obligation for you to stay here. But how many times has a priest thrown a stone or a person in authority thrown a stone? And what do we react? We get up defending our hands and we start shouting. We start getting back and we start running. But once we leave, everything starts opening. The computer, our cell phones, any means of communication is to say what has just happened, what the authority has just done. You can't believe it. This breaks charity. This is what we want to examine ourselves on today. How often it happens, how often we forget. So let us now, when we start pressing that print button, print review, before we go to our eternal judgment, if anything falls in line outside of the positive XY, there is something wrong. Oftentimes we print preview and something goes on to another quadrangle. We are a little upset because we couldn't fit it in the Excel spreadsheet. It is annoying, but this should be you now. When you examine yourselves every night and something carried over onto the negative axis, you should be annoyed with yourself. You should be upset that you have just offended God. You've just offended your neighbor. So constantly look at that print preview. Constantly examine yourself. And if you focus just upon charity this new year, you will be amazed how many increases of grace you will receive because you have done your duty to keep the greatest and the greatest commandment you will have. So let us now go under the great protection of the Holy Family and go to the gospel of today's Mass. You heard our Lord say to Mary and Joseph, "Did you not know I was going about my Father's business?" And Scripture says, "Mary, ponder these words in our heart." Now, of course, we are not Christ. But let us use the same example in a similar way. And let us think to ourselves that Mary ponders the words that we say in our heart. Mary ponders everything. And Mary ponders the words that we have said in our heart. What is her reaction? Is she pleased? Is she disappointed? Mary ponders the words that we say. Let us not disappoint her. Let us rather increase the strength of our family here, this parish, our own individual families. Let us increase the strength, this feast of the Holy Family, by trying to encourage each other to be charitable, to stop them in their gossip, to stop them in their complaining, to stop them in their calumny, to increase their grace by giving them the example, to admonish them in a good way, as the epistle will say today, admonish the other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, nothing but positive, nothing but the grace of God. Use Scripture, use the lives of the saints, they will motivate you. And so let us now go to this Mass, praying for each other that we increase in this charity. You will be amazed how much we can increase if we watch our mouths, if we check our thoughts, and remember that we must love our enemy. We must love our enemy. And if our enemy is on the negative part of the XY, they must be elevated. Do that by your good speech. go and bring back one of your family members to the positive XYXS? How many relatives of ours lie so far down that line of negativity we can't find them? They're so deep down on the Y-axis we don't know if they exist. This is your duty now. This is a practical application. Bring them back. Reel them in by your charity. Let them stone you if they so please. And Saint Stephen, Saint Dominic, our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel is your example. It's up to you to follow our Lord, the Holy Family, or to follow the world as they are so far gone. Do not be a good Catholic as the Jews were good Jews in stoning Stephen. Let us be a traditional Catholic and keep to the words of the centuries. And let us now go with the words of Saint Benedict, with our eyes open in the divine light and with our ears attuned to the divine voice, let us hear that we understand that we are being warned every day. And let us warn ourselves now with this charity. We warn ourselves, we will try to respond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.